عندي قرآن حكيم. In many places, in various places, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has addressed the people of Iman with one word. Ya أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. Allah ta'ala has addressed the believers. Taqwa. In various places, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned this word, and wherever Allah ta'ala mentions taqwa, where the word taqwa comes and it's attached to the people of Iman, there Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also gives nasiha in addition, guidance and advice. Now taqwa, the meaning of taqwa, the definition of taqwa that has been given on a common basis or regular basis, you can say it's fear. To have fear. Taqwa means to have fear. It's an Arabic word, taqwa. And if we translate it into Urdu, then we see this meaning that comes out. Now, in other words, we have our tongue and our speech, and that if we have different languages, and when there's a word in a certain language, it's not necessary that when it is translated or defined or mentioned that its whole meaning is translated into the other language, its whole effect and meaning and impact. There's sometimes a color of a effect of a word that it's totally in the initial language. But anyway, this is a translation or an explanation. This is Arabic, this word in the Quran. In normal languages, what we see is that if you speak in a certain language, you're trying to seek that word in another language and it becomes difficult to find it. And even if you translate that word, but the whole meaning doesn't descend into the translated word. You have to explain it in a more fuller version. You need tafsir or commentary of that word. And there are many words like this. For example, if we take an example, Gujarati words. There are very common words in Gujarati that we say, kanini. Ni. So when we say ni, I mean, you can't translate that word afterwards. It's just an add-on and it completes that word in Gujarati, for example, but you can't translate it to another language. In Punjabi, there's a word, nalapani. Now, this is such an ajeeb word, nalapani, where in Punjabi, the language people know Punjabi, they will understand this word. Then Urdu, I cannot see the translation of this word anywhere. And there have been debates, because I'm also the speaker of Urdu. And in our, remember we say Nala in Urdu, Qamarband we call it. That's another word. But it's not the translation. Now Qamarband, for example, you put into the shalwar or into the pyjama. Now we need that to put it in. So what will we call it in Urdu? Will say that for inserting the Qamarband, give me something to insert it. But there's not one word. But in Punjabi, we call it Nalapani. So this is the meaning of that word in Punjabi. But you can try your best and look in Lugha, but you will not get the translation of that word in Urdu. That Nalapani will stay as Nalapani, and the statement of Nalapani cannot be completed in the other language. So anyway, these are the styles of languages that you can translate them in different ways and forms. But the whole meaning doesn't get translated. So taqwa, this is an Arabic word. And Arabic is such a language of fusha, of depth and meaning, that there's no language greater than Arabic in definition, meaning, expanse, variation. There's no greater language. That if Allah Ta'ala gave this language to His Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and this is the language after death, and this is the language of Quran and the hereafter, and it is totally full of balagha and depth, meaning, understanding. And those who passed before us, who understood the Qur'an and Arabic, who wrote commentary and meaning. And when the Prophet ﷺ came to the world, it was common in the world that people would sit down and dialogue and discussion in Arabic and eloquence and debates, such words and depth and meanings. So the Arabs had a pride in their language. It was the Arabic language. So Allah Ta'ala said that the greatest miracle of the Quran is that when the Quran was revealed, then it made all the other languages cool down. And even the people of the Arabic language cooled down. There was such a jamia, total meaning. And the ocean of the knowledge of the Quran came to the people of the world. Allah Ta'ala says that show me one verse that is better than the verse of the Quran, if you can create such a verse. SubhanAllah, there were many people at that time, poets and speakers and orators, but they couldn't do this. So the Quran, it is in Arabic, and we have translated the Quran. People have translated it. It's in Urdu. Most of the translations are in Urdu. There are other languages like English, etc., but mostly translation is in Urdu. So it's obvious that the word, the total meaning won't come into this, but our ulama have made effort, alhamdulillah, and they get to the meaning of the words. So the word is taqwa, Arabic word, and we will speak on this word today, taqwa. So taqwa, the word, we could say fear, yeah, to be scared or to have fear or awe, to hold something in awe or fear. So this is the word. So Mufti Taqi Sahib is a very great scholar and mufassir, commentator and muhaddith, and scholar of hadith, and he's a musannaf and mufakkar and a thinker and a faqih and a jurist and an ustad and a teacher and a Sufi. SubhanAllah. And yani, if we look here, that with my defective knowledge in this day and age, to have such you can say all these qualities is very few, seldom, that he was a justice of the high court, from the masjid, from being a scholar and imam, to a justice in the court, and mashallah, such a personality that he has humility and humbleness. I don't think that today in this world of ilm, there's anyone in this day and age who is present with such ilm and knowledge. And the reason for this is because from two places he attained ma'rifah. One from his own father, who was a great khalifa of Hazrat Hakim ul-Ummat Mulana Shafi'i Tanwi, his father Mufti Shafi'i Rahmatullahi, and then he sent his own son to another great personality of that day and age, Hazrat Arif Billah, Dr. Abdul Hay Arifi Rahmatullahi. And that was his sheikh. And today in his words, in his writings, in his effect, that without referring to his teachers, he doesn't speak. SubhanAllah. And he himself, he wasn't an alim, his sheikh, but even today in his kitabs, as the Mufti Taqi Sahib, Damat Bargan, whenever he speaks or mentions something or discusses something, then he gives the reference of his own sheikh, his own teacher. That when we used to sit, my sheikh said this to me, he gave me nasiha, I realized this from his company, etc. And to see this, that the walis of Allah, to sit in the company of the wali of Allah, and imagine the effect that it takes on the ilm, on the knowledge, and how the ilm rises, then look at the two brothers. If you want to be both brothers, who are alims of their time, without any comparison, and tawaza to the extreme, humility and humble, and their great personalities and lofty. So I speak from their, you can say, teaching with regards to taqwa. He has said something, so I will give you the explanation from the angle of Hazrat Mufti Taqi Usmani Sahib Rahmatullahi. So he said that taqwa is a common word, it's used commonly, that khawf and fear and being and having awe. But he said that there's no enjoyment, this is not a total translation. He said, fine, the translation is there, but to reach to the bottom, he said that I cannot get to the meaning of the word. He said, what I consider or realize, and he had the haq for saying this, mashallah, the maqam he's on. He said, what I consider as the meaning of this word, taqwa, that if we have to say it in such a way, that the meaning of taqwa, if we put it this way, that in the heart, in one's heart, instead of having the fear of Allah, to say that in your heart, you have the caution with regards to Allah. Caution. Yes? Caution, due care, and diligence with regards to Allah. He said, then quite a lot of the meaning of taqwa will come into this explanation of due care and caution with Allah. So it's a deep point. So he said that I look at this word taqwa in this way, if we want to translate that, rather than saying fear, to be scared, that in our hearts we have the caution and due care and diligence and awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Aha. So this is a beautiful angle here that he has put on this word. So in reality, that both words are correct. Both words are correct. Both translations are correct. On their own standing, they're both correct. Both translations and understandings. How? Hazrat has said the right thing, and the translation is also correct. The reason for this is because insan, the people of Iman, there are two groups. Two groups. There are two groups from the people of Iman. One is those who, after bringing about Iman in their hearts, they are those people who their work or their sort of actions are to disobey Allah. They leave Allah Ta'ala's orders, they disobey Allah Ta'ala's orders, and their life totally, continuously, they spend their life, they pass their life in disobedience. They don't know about haram, unlawful, or halal, lawful, or about salah, or about prayer, or about fasting, or about compulsory charity, zakah, or hajj, nor zakah. No action. They know these things have to be done. But they're not in terms of practical life, do they know, or do they observe this? So in the world, they are overwhelmed by the dunya, their qulub, their heart have become solid like rocks, and they've become dark and black. They have iman, Allah Ta'ala knows best at what level of iman they are on. But with regards to practical implementation of Islam, every action which is against Islam, which is against the deen, they don't just implement it, but openly, flagrantly, blatantly, oh come on, let's pray Salah. Oh, you go and pray Salah, it's not for me. Well, we know who you are and how you pray Salah. I've seen people who've got beards. Oh, I've seen people who do parda, the women, what they do afterwards in the privacy. Oh, we're in the dunya, we have to do what we have to do. We'll see what happens when we die. They openly challenge, you will have heard these words. What is it? I don't need to tell you. You know better than me. How? And there's such a group of people, or people individually, to have this sort of thinking. There are many like this, and they are increasing with the days and the months and the years. This group, this is increasing. Now, the situation is that their situation has become pretty severe. There's nobody who can explain to them or advise them, coach them. The Quran doesn't affect them. The words, good words, don't affect them. They are drowned in the world, in dunya. Their target is dunya, money, wealth targets, defrauding people. And if they have something they want, then to lie to get that item is a small thing for them. And everything that Allah Ta'ala said, that leave this, refrain from this, don't earn dunya from this, they carry out those actions. Immodesty is open, and they think that this is the target of the world, men and women alike. And everything is jais for them to drink, the fridges are full of everything to drink. And there's no differentiation. If somebody tries to have caution, observe caution, maybe there's not even any shame there. And they get involved in wrong actions. They may go to Islamic events, but due to tradition and culture, Islamic events, they give it the color of the dunya and effect of the dunya. Is this happening today or not? Tell me, am I wrong? Or am I wrong? Tell me, is this not the majority of the ummah doing this? And there, what can we explain to these ulama? They're doing fuqaha, and so-called great personalities are doing these actions as well, on top of the normal layman. So for those people, this word is utilized. That there's no other word to explain or to advise them with rather than this word. So when a person gets to this position and they have iman, but so weak iman, and they are members of the of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Habiballah, mashallah. So when Allah Ta'ala explains to these people, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullah, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ittaqullah, then for those people, Allah Ta'ala is addressing those people. When they get to this position, danger of iman, then Allah Ta'ala says the meaning of khawf, fear and awe is used here. Because no other thing affects these people. No other words affect these people. If we don't show them the Quran, then if the Quran is not firm with them, then look at the Qawm-e Thamud before you, Qawm-e Lut, Qawm-e Nuh alayhi salam. Look at their homes, how they were flattened, how the earthquakes came, how the cracks came into the earth and people fell into the cracks, how the crust of the earth was lifted up and forced back down, and how the clouds, they cracked and the thunder came and the lightning came and the seas and oceans and the floods. Allah Ta'ala says, khawf, khawf, fear of Allah. In other words, to the means that Allah Ta'ala has utilized to bring those people closer to the deen, say loudly, what does Allah Ta'ala use? The word khawf. Taqwa, ittaqullah. Allah says, have fear from my adhab, from my punishments, because my adhab is shadeed, it is severe, deep. So for those people who are far from the deen, who reject openly, to bring them back to the deen, Allah Ta'ala says, the meaning of taqwa here for them is khawf, fear, to have fear. Nothing else can explain to them. The Quran explains nicely, then they are grabbed. And then when they are grabbed, Allah Ta'ala's firm grip comes, Allah Ta'ala says, maybe they will understand now and come towards the where they come, because they have iman. And for example, their business, if it gets weak or a calamity occurs at home or a disaster, we've seen this, then they say, oh, Hazrat Sahib, where's Sheikh Sahib? Is anybody pious? I can go to him to do dua. So Allah Ta'ala says that I give you the means, you have issues and problems, and then because the intoxication of the dunya is then removed due to the person now coming back to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Then we look around, let's go to this pious person, learned people, asking for advice, hidayah. We're looking for peace and sakina, because now the dunya has become difficult for us. One of the factors of our life has become difficult for us. And there are issues and problems and difficulties. What do we do now? What do we do now? Where shall I go? Where shall I go? We ask ourselves. And we can see no path for solution. And is this not our story? Totally. So if Allah Ta'ala's fadl and karam and mercy and blessings come unto a person, then what does that person become? He listens. Or she listens. Not just this. Not just having fear for Allah. Not just this in heart. But rather, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was invited to the heavens. Called to the heavens. How Allah Ta'ala gave a gift to the ummah. That he is my Habib. And Allah Ta'ala said, I will mention everything in the Quran. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was invited to Allah Ta'ala's presence. That look with your eyes, O Nabi, O my Habib, and tell the ummah. So that this Quran will be so foolish, so stupid, so dark hearted, so much impurities on their hearts. That maybe my words of the Quran will not affect them, but when you go back home, my Habib, and tell them that you came to the heavens and saw with your own eyes, maybe they will learn. And this was Mi'raj, the blessed ascension to the heavens. What Allah Ta'ala showed, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw all of the punishments. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was standing on the bank of a river, and Hazrat Jibreel Islam was introducing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to people who were being punished. There was a man, for example, a person, and his head was being crushed between two rocks and grinded and crushed. Who is this? And Hazrat Jibreel Islam said that he is from your ummah. What did he do? These were those people in the world. They were enjoying themselves, immersed in the dunya. They used to leave salah, used to leave congregation salah. They didn't even care. They didn't care. Hazrat Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu states in a hadith, and there's a hadith that has been narrated by him, subhanallah, that on the day of judgment, when a person will be presented that who was lazy with his salah, who used to leave his salah, who didn't pray his salah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there will be jalal. There will be Allah Ta'ala's power and Allah Ta'ala's anger. But that Allah Ta'ala says, what will be the form of my anger? That most deserved of my ghazab will be that person who used to hear the adhan from his ears and didn't go to the masjid to pray salah. So what happens is that person, the adhab that will be given in the akhirah, thereafter Allah Ta'ala says that my wrath will be coming to that person. Imagine that person, that the feeling of the azab of Allah in thereafter already came to that person in the world. And with ease you can see that those people, don't go outside, look in your own homes. Look at your children. Look at the scenario in your home, your environment. The wife should look at the husband. The husband, if the wife is good, then the husband won't look after her. If the wife is good, the husband doesn't look after her. Or the wife doesn't look after the children. Look at the children, etc. Look at how many homes. How many people pray salah? I ask you a question. How many? Except for that person, that if there's a difficulty in life in the world, then we run to the masajids. To the mosques. Run, run. Let's do khatam, read the Quran, complete Quran, thawab, ithali, thawab, at that time. But the real punishment that Allah Ta'ala has mentioned, one hadith I've just told you. One, can there be a greater hadith than this? That Allah Ta'ala says, that person who doesn't pray salah, that he will be most deserved of my ghazab, the person who leaves salah. So we see these faces every day. Not outside, in our homes. No salah. Amongst our brothers and sisters. In our children. The husband looks at his wife, the wife looks at the husband, and then the husband sometimes is good and the wife stays behind. Sometimes the wife is good and the husband stays behind. Yes, sometimes both stay behind. Sometimes both are correct and the children stay behind. They get left behind, fall behind. Ajeeb mahol. Ajeeb situation. This is what Allah Ta'ala has shown to us, is that the tandoor is burning in the miraj. The Prophet saw a pot, deep cauldron burning, and naked women were tossed up with the ashes, with the fire. They go high up, they're shrieking, naked, totally scream, then they fall down suddenly, that the fire that tosses them up, and then the flames go back down, and that takes the women back into the tandoor. And Rasulullah said, who are these people? And Jibreel said that these are the immodest women from your ummah. Then what is the condition of haya, modesty, and what are the hudud, the circle, the boundary within which the woman has to observe the limits? And those women, they broke the limits, they exceeded them. Where is it written? Oh, what a mahal, what environment, how could this be? So due to the modesty, the father looks at the children, the mother looks at the children, and they are witnesses. Remember this, that when something wrong is taking place in front of the parents, the child is carrying out a wrong and breaking the limits of Islam, then on the day of judgment, will they be saved? No, they will be witnesses, the parents. And they'll be witnesses. Imagine the hashar of the witness. The same treatment will be meted out to the parents as the criminal himself, the daughter of the son. Brothers, this is very dangerous. Which dunya are we set in? We think we just prayed, say, oh, I'm forgiven, I am pious, and titles are given to people. And who will answer for this? Who will answer for this? With our own eyes, we see the wrong being done. And instead of that man seeing the wrong and saying, my son, my daughter, my children, they're not praying salah. There's no haya, no immodesty, no sharam, no shame, no libas, no form, no appearance, nothing. no tamiz, no manners, no behavior, no adab, and all of the hudud of Sharia for the woman, for the man. Allah Ta'ala has given a beautiful framework of life, Islam. Allah Ta'ala has given the limits for the women and for the men. Just like the men have limits, the women have limits. And when she leaves that boundary, then she's called immodest, without haya, that woman. Today, we appreciate more those people. We lift them up. If a woman has haya today, then she becomes a target of criticism. What is the hal in the ummah today, in the world today? And the Rasulullah was shown in the heavens that those women tossed up naked. How long? 3 years? 2 years? 1 year prison? No, permanent. Forever and ever. This is what will happen to those who didn't have iman. Do tawbah, brothers. People, do tawbah. Do tawbah. Do tawbah. Repent. Repent. Look at this. Look at this. And the stomachs will be ripped open. Who are these people? Those who consumed interest. One other qawm will be shown with their hands. They will be pulling their flesh, ripping their flesh, tearing the flesh and eating it. The Prophet ﷺ was shown this on the night of Mi'raj. On Mi'raj Sharif, we have halwa and foods and puris. What about these hadith? We've made the night of Mi'raj a tradition, a culture. What was the message that the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ came with when he came back from Mi'raj? He came with a great ibadah, worship, which will be accounted on the Day of Judgment. And ahkams, laws, orders, and all of these punishments. The Prophet ﷺ said, don't do these actions. What do we do today? The same actions. Openly, we flagrantly are practicing those deeds. And those bid'at and innovations that we have remembered, we are practicing in the name of Islam today. Such a great event, Mi'raj. We should be crying today, O Ummah. We should be crying today. That such a big explanation that Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam brought from the heavens. He saw with his own eyes and he told the dunya. And what we've made that today, that event of Mi'raj, a cultural tradition night to commemorate and celebrate. Now if we see all the games will start and the celebrations will start and weird actions will start. We know this. We know this. May Allah Ta'ala forgive. Which direction are we falling into the trap and the ditch of the dunya? Where's the dunya going? So we were shown this. So there are people who will be pulling the flesh out of their own bodies and eating. And there will be people who will be drinking the blood in the past. Who are these people? They are those who used to backbite. Such a dirty fragrance will come. And Rasulullah said, who is this? And the Hazrat Jibreel said, this is that woman who used to backbite. And she just moved a little bit. And the stench of her backbiting spread across hellfire. And then the thief will be shown, and the liar will be shown, and that person who earned haram, who used to eat haram. Everything the Prophet ﷺ saw with his own eyes, nothing was hidden. And he came back and told everything to his ummah, everything, that this is the mi'raj, and this is what I saw. The punishment, we become happy, oh, the Prophet ﷺ was lifted from Makkah, went to the heavens, and then this happened. Look, his maqam, the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ's maqam, true maqam, only Allah Ta'ala knows best. We know that he did mi'raj once, and I say rather, he did mi'raj every day. He was such a great personality, the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, our master, our guide, our Nabi, that Allah Ta'ala said, I prepared to meet him so regularly. Subhanallah. So in the dunya, he was such a great and unique personality. Nobody can think that anyone else could compare. What was his maqam? وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ. So there was not a second that passed in which the Prophet ﷺ did not attain the uruj, and then went beyond that. Then it went beyond that. Like I said before, every on the Day of Judgment, until the Day of Judgment, progression spiritually for the Prophet ﷺ. Even on that day, he will progress in the levels. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prepared that not a second took part in the life of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ up to his death, up to Hashr, up to Jannah, paradise, that every second his daraja, his blessings, and his rank keeps on increasing, keeps on increasing, keeps on increasing. So, that we think that this is the praise of the Prophet ﷺ, that's it, enough. We are courageous and we are the ashiks and we just recited Durood Sharif. We said to him, we've done ziyarah, we went to his grave and we've seen Allah. This is just a little bit of a jalak that has reached to us, my friends. This ajiz humble servant says, there may be other higher maqams than this of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, and this is my yaqeen, that there's no limit, no boundary. Allah Ta'ala gave him such great bimithal, without any example, without any comparison. Who? The Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. Allah Ta'ala is the master of the universe, the controller, the creator. And the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ is his habib for the whole of mankind and creation. And the logic behind this is that it's not just this, that here the Rasulullah ﷺ status and shan and glory is being showed us. This is not the meaning, no. Allah Ta'ala says that what shall I show to you in terms of the status of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ? That he said, I am the Bashar, and a Bashar, I've come as a human being. But Allah Ta'ala says that don't think that you just think I am a man, a normal man, that there's a difference in me being a human being and you, and the difference is that I get wahi. He said, said the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you don't get wahi. Subhanallah. So he is bashar. He said, I am a man, but not that you just try to treat me the same as other human beings and speak loudly in front of me and I am a bashar, you're my bashar. No, the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the difference, that the difference here is that he is a human being, but he's the greatest human being. Allah ta'ala says, my link, that Allah ta'ala says, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that my heart and my consciousness always is present in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the difference between the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and us. He was a man, but he was the best of all men, and always he was thinking about Allah. And who else can explain this better than Rasulullah to us? So, when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam went on the journey of Mi'raj, this was for the benefit of the Ummah. That look here, don't do these actions. I've seen the punishments for these actions. It's not good for us to do this. So when such a time comes, when people like you explain to them, deen, try to advise them, what word does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala use? Khawf. Taqwa, fear. So here the right meaning has come, the meaning of the word taqwa. And today in this day and age, this translation is better. This is the word that we should use. That Mufti Sahib, I'll request Mufti Sahib, please let us use this translation. The other translation for caution and awareness of Allah, let's not use that for today. But people, brothers, the world is full of good people and bad people. Some people have to be forced or explained to them repeatedly, and then they want to leave the trap of the dunya and get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then they take hold of that tool or that item that through which the heart can be eliminated of darkness and hard heart, and then that heart becomes soft and tender. Then the person does dhikr, adhkar, goes to the majlis of the wali of Allah. Then the qulub, the heart of that person who was asleep, subhanallah, that a person didn't have aql or understanding or awareness or to do the right thing, but then that person starts to improve as a human being, think about his rights or to Allah and the rights around people around him or her, and then goodness comes into that person's life and he becomes a very good human being, and he becomes full of tawbah. His life, it is tawbah, repentance, his salah improves, he goes to congregation, the masjid to pray salah, his face changes and he starts to love the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He has manners and respect and he starts to run away from bad actions or bad items or bad actions or words. And then when he looks back and turns around and says, look, what was I before and what am I now? And what have I done? Because that person takes hold of the path of the dhikr of Allah, which ongoing makes that person closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Closer. So now he starts to pray tahajjud, ishraq, does dhikr and saves himself from haram, practices on the sunnah, and the akhlaq of the dunya is elevated, he tells people, and every time he's making effort, and he's got khawf, or she's got khawf and making effort, then let's look at that second translation, because we are human beings, aren't we? And we can still commit sins, can't we? Or do we not? Because we're not angels, are we? We're not angels. So everything's been explained, it as amal on the sunnah is pious, everything. But even then that person can commit the sins, isn't it? He can. Except for the prophets of Allah, Anbiya, as-salatu was-salam, the rest of the humankind, of mankind can commit the sins at home, inside the house, with the family, or outside, etc. So the meaning, ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullah. So how is Allah Ta'ala addressing the believers? This is the second group, that they've come now out of the world of khawf. And now what are they? Subhanallah, here comes the second meaning. What? That Allah Ta'ala, let's be cautious with regards to Allah, aware of Allah, conscious of Allah. Allah Ta'ala says, be careful with regards to me. And what is Allah Ta'ala saying here? What should we do? We should be careful and cautious with regards to Allah. Allah Ta'ala is not making us scared now. Allah says, I don't need to make you scared. You had fear before, and you exercise that, and you practice that. And then, for example, the nafs makes you lie, or the sins of the eyes. We are all human beings, aren't we? So Allah Ta'ala says, what should you say? Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullah. O people of iman, belief, that be careful with regards to Allah. Cautious. Do you understand what that means? Lihaz? For example, we said we're careful or cautious. For example, I tell you. So you understand. Allah Ta'ala is addressing this qawm now, the Muslims. So we've got both translations, haven't we? They're both correct. That, am I saying the right thing or not? Subhanallah. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. So this is for you, mashallah. This is for you. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. So we've come out of that trap now, haven't we? Allah Ta'ala's big fadl and karam and mercy and blessings for us. Massive fadl of Allah. So now, we continue. Allah Ta'ala explains to those people, how does Allah Ta'ala explain that there's a man, and to another man, the first person, he looks after that second person, cares for the second person, fulfills the needs of that person, gives food, clothes to that person, looks after that person's children, his wife. Always he's asking that person, do you have a need? I can fulfill your need. He gives money. You know, in the dunya, there are friends like this. through thick and thin, they fulfill the rites of friendship, they have mercy on that person, everything. So when that person, that for example, he has a link with the other person, so what will happen to the heart of the other person? For the first person who's helping him or her, what will you get? Regard, high regard and love and respect for that person. Now look, he's openly helping me, assisting me, he's fulfilling my needs. In the night I call him, he comes to me in the night, whatever, I'm not paying him, I've got no money. He looks after my wife and children. Wherever I am, I'm hungry and he brings food to me. So what will that man, second person, he will have azmat and greatness in his heart for that first person who's helping him or her. So these two things will come into that: azmat and muhabbat, esteem, respect and love for the. So if in your heart or in my heart we have respect and love and esteem for another person, then if that other person makes a mistake, then imagine the hal of the person. SubhanAllah, he will have shame and he will feel embarrassed that with which face shall I go to this person? There's such a big, he favored me so much, and that my the person who favored me, he's committed a mistake. So then let's come to this grave now. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullaha, Allah Ta'ala says that, oh my servants, oh believers, oh you believe, the servant of Allah, that the person who has the greatness and the love of Allah in his heart, he has now awareness that my Malik is Allah. He is the Qadir. He is the one who gives. And all of the ni'mas of Allah, he understands that everything comes from my Rabb, the ni'mas. So if by mistake ever, that person disobeys Allah by mistake, then Allah Ta'ala reminds that person that, don't you feel ashamed that you did the bad actions and you didn't fulfill the right actions? SubhanAllah. So then Allah Ta'ala takes that person towards tawbah. Tawbah, repentance. And so this verse is for those people, the brothers, that should you really be doing these actions, that when you sin, when you disobey Allah, then you should be so embarrassed and ashamed, so embarrassed and so much full of caution, that Allah, how will I show you my face? And then for that they repent and cry and do tawbah all night long, so that they can get the forgiveness from Allah. Is there not a difference between the two? So both are ittaqullah, both understand, but one is for the group A and one is for group B. So those who attain Allah's nearness, who start loving Allah Ta'ala, who understand the glory of Allah, the power of Allah, the status of Allah. So my brothers, Allah Ta'ala has prepared for the insan, the human being, a lot of things at this time. Let's utilize time properly, positively, and let's take hold of Allah Ta'ala's rahmah and fadl that descends in every second to our lives, to us individually. We should be grateful and be and have appreciation for Allah Ta'ala's ni'mas, and have this awareness that Allah Ta'ala is the one who gives. I am nothing, I am zero. All the ni'mas Allah gives me, and I disobey Allah. After that I sin. That whenever you want to leave a sin, then think about the ni'mas of Allah, Allah's azmat, Allah's glory, Allah's power. How Allah Ta'ala sends His blessings and mercies and grace to us. That Allah Ta'ala, let's look towards our life and experience that. What was I before? I was sinful and I was drowning in hellfire. I was that person who the Prophet Muhammad saw that his head is being crushed between the rocks. I'm the same person who was swimming in the river of blood and pus. I was that same woman who used to walk around immodest, and it was me who was being tossed up and down naked in that pot, that cauldron. How Allah Ta'ala saved me. So we need to be careful. We need to think that I don't even know what is the sunnah and what is the Prophet Muhammad and what his teachings. We thought, oh, he's just another normal person. If there was a julus or a conference, we said we became ashiks. Then in 1 month, we sat down for 3 days, 5 days. We thought that we inheritors of love. And without the deen, without the laws of Allah, comes what false love we were drowned in. Allah, what a great name of yours that you've saved us and brought us to your true deen. That's it. How many days will this go for? At that time, we should think that, how did I commit this sin, Allah? How did I disobey you? How did I leave salah? How did this happen? Why didn't I go in congregation? Why? What was the reason that I committed such a big error? Such a big error. Now if you see that human being now, alhamdulillah, our journey is continuing. And as our heart becomes more pure and soft and tender, the more we'll be aware of what's happening around us, and a link stronger will be made with Allah. Such shame and modesty will come into your lives, my life, our lives, with regards to Allah. So much will be ashamed that subhanallah, that nothing will there be. That for example, Allah Ta'ala says another point here, that when a person has muhabbat, love, first came khawf, fear. Fear. To have the awe, reverence. That time when we were correcting ourselves by looking at the punishments, what were we looking at? The hellfire and the punishments, reading up about them, isn't it? And due to the fear of that, oh, I'm going to get this punishment, this punishment, this punishment. And we were doing actions, and then the khawf came into our heart, and we were made to be scared. And if that came, that fear came to him in the heart, and he starts to pray, he said, oh, this is the punishment. That's why you see when the brothers from Tabligh Jamaat come, they said that this happens if you don't pray Salah, this will happen. If you don't do this, this will happen. So that the khawf changes, the form changes from khawf to a higher degree. So the second translation, where we talk about immodesty and shame and taqwa, what is that that we need to use there? Allahu Akbar. That he won't be afraid, rather he will see the sins, and due to shame and remorse, he will leave that sin. Won't even go near it. Because Allah Ta'ala's muhabbat and love and azmat has come into the heart of the person. So with these two things we need, Allah Ta'ala says we need to have the muhabbat of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala and muhabbat, and we need to have that understanding of Allah Ta'ala's glory and his status. SubhanAllah. So what happens then? That love and azmat, love and greatness, esteem and love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what will create this love? And what is instilled in love? That khawf I was speaking about. Here now we talk about love. So what is the inheritance in love? Sometimes you do, if you love somebody when you were young or in the old age, then there's one danger with your mahbub, that I don't want my mahbub to become upset with me, isn't it? That's it. We're worried about that. I don't want my mahbub, beloved, to be upset with me. And to be safe from the mahbub being beloved, being upset with me, we'll do so much. We'll say, are you unhappy? Are you okay? You didn't mind what I said, did you? And this condition then becomes for that person with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah, if I leave salah, will you be unhappy with me? Will Allah be unhappy with me? Subhanallah. Say subhanallah again. Now you tell me, do we have this feeling? How do we still have khawf and fear? So this is the Allah Ta'ala, is he unhappy with me due to this? That I lied. Will Allah be unhappy with me? And when due to this reason a person leaves the sins, then Allah Ta'ala announces in the heavens that this person has become mine. He has started to love me so much that in every moment of the night he is cautious and aware of me and he's leaving the sins. SubhanAllah. What a beautiful position a person can get into. So fear, being scared, this runs away. He doesn't have khawf, he's not scared. He just thinks that is my mahbub Allah unhappy with me? He's not displeased with me if I do this action, is he? So we always have the thinking towards Allah. Or then we say, oh, I said bad to this man and my Rabb will be unhappy with me. That's why, but I've seen people like this. They're on a journey. They're on a journey. They have to go far. Then they knock on the door. They say, what is it? Why have you come? He said, I've come to ask you for forgiveness. For which reason? In his heart, what is in his heart? That I doubt. That I think I've said something to this person. May not be. That Allah Ta'ala is unhappy with me due to this. So he stands at the door and he cries for that person, for his mahbub. SubhanAllah. So very soft-hearted a person becomes. And has the world of the heart changed now or not due to the dhikr? If it has and it's happening, then consider your dhikr is being accepted. Accepted. And a very great reward Allah Ta'ala has given to the dhakirin, to the dhakir. SubhanAllah. So a man, he is surprised that I also know that this is the punishment and what was given in Mi'raj, and we know that I haven't fallen unconscious. Why is this person so khawf? Whose khawf he says? That I'm scared that I don't want Allah Ta'ala to be displeased with me. That Allah Ta'ala, if he's displeased with me, then how will I bring Allah Ta'ala back onto my side? How? That hey, if somebody is unhappy, it's easy to make the person happy. But if Allah Ta'ala becomes unhappy and displeased, then how will I lose that company and understanding? So that I've come to your court, please forgive me. Please forgive me that, for example, whatever you need to do, please, I have made a mistake and I did this actions X, Y, Z. Then he said, oh, go, I forgive you. And it becomes so cool. He gives sadaqah and gives khairat. Why? Because that person who he oppressed or took the rights from, not for that person, but big khairat comes out, langar and the food. This is the walis of Allah who did this. Someone said, Hazrat, what's happened? He said, today my Rabb is pleased with me, subhanallah. And he asked forgiveness from that man for that reason. So is this a life or not? Tell me, is this not a good life? Tell me, what a beautiful life of the human being. Every second we should be thinking about Allah Ta'ala's displeasure and friendship. And the biggest fikr we have when we're friends with someone is that, is my friend happy with me in regards to something? And that friend A is willing to do anything. He said, today I'm coming 3 a.m. you have to come to the airport. That man is sleeping at 1 a.m. 1 a.m. and he comes, his friend. Now he's tossing and turning. Why? He says, oh, I didn't go to my friend. The wife says, go to sleep. What difference does it make? Oh, send the taxi, he can come by taxi. What difference does it make? Isn't it? Sometimes in life it happens, oh, he'll come by taxi. But what happens? No, you don't know. He's my friend. I don't want him to be unhappy with me. I don't want him to be unhappy with me. One word he'll say to his wife, that no. If he's unhappy with me, it'll be hard for me. And he'll be unhappy, that why didn't you come to the board? This happens, isn't it? So the friendship, we always do this. We don't say, oh, I'm scared. If I don't get him, I'll be scared. Have you ever said this? No. For your friend, you'll say, I need to collect him. If I don't, he'll be unhappy. He's not my company. I know he's got a bit of anger. He'll get unhappy with me. SubhanAllah. Then, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when I love, Allah says, no. The man who loves Allah, he says, no, my Malik is so great. I don't want my Malik to be unhappy with me. Let me go and pray Salah in Jama'ah. Shaitan says, no, don't go. You don't need to go that far. He says, no. And now now. His waking up or getting up is different. He's not got adab in front of him, punishment, but he's got Allah Ta'ala's displeasure in front of him. He doesn't want to displease Allah. Sometimes it happens, you want to pray tahajjud and the nafs tells you, no, you carry on sleeping. What do you think at that time? Reward, khawf rather, no. You say, Allah will be unhappy with me. Why didn't you wake up today for tahajjud? And these feelings have come, have they, brothers? Have they feelings, these come? Have they come to you or not? If they have, say, Subhanallah loudly, Subhanallah, MashaAllah, they will come to you. They will come to you. So this is dhikr. That's why we are trying and making effort, all of this. So if you want to get up for tahajjud, please Allah. If you want to do dhikr regularly, then please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you want to come for salah, please Allah. And there's no other objective, no other objective. This is the objective. Khawf shawf is gone. Fear is gone. How long it's gone for? Because friendship has come. Friendship has come. And the friendship path gives us the success. So if we get friendship with Allah here in the world, if Allah Ta'ala is unhappy with me, if I do wrong, what will Allah say? Allah Ta'ala says that you love me and I love you. Then Allah Ta'ala says that I also have patience with your condition. That this is my servant, he's asking from me. If I don't give to him, he'll be unhappy with me. Go angels, give to him. Otherwise he'll be unhappy. SubhanAllah, this is the shan of Allah, the greatness. That Allah Ta'ala listens and waits and waits. And then Allah Ta'ala makes a step. That when a person of close to Allah raises his hands, Allah says, I never send him empty hands. It back, that maybe I'll give him resources. If he asks for rain or heat, I will give to him. Whatever he gives, asks for, I give to him. In such a way, Allah Ta'ala says, I change the climate that was planned. I change the plans, whatever climate, or whether if you ask for the apple or fruit in the wrong season, even then I'll give it to you. Why? Because if he has an understanding, awareness of my displeasure, then also the human being says, Allah is my mahbub as well. And I won't want that difference between me and Allah that we have now, that beautiful love. SubhanAllah, Allah Ta'ala says, that I love the person if that person loves me. So brothers, keep on carrying on. That every day I give you taqweed and to myself. This is a solid path, a great path. Never leave this line, never leave this path. This is the case, isn't it? Yes, you've changed, improved. Then otherwise so much will be destroyed if we don't follow the path. Allah Ta'ala has given us a great high maqam despite tests and challenges. But we have reached to the depot. Broken down. Yes, we are, and our parts are falling off, but we've reached to the depot, and the person who now goes backwards, he will lose. I always tell you something different. Alhamdulillah, beautiful path and a sketch that I present with the fadl of Allah and karam of Allah. SubhanAllah, Allah's grace and blessings. So how great points we discussed today with regards to the wali of Allah, the friend of Allah, his thinking changes, his lifestyle changes. Go back 5 years or a bit more. Did you have the thinking like this today? Did you have that jazbah and that passion? And if you had the ibadah, was there jazbah or passion there? And listen, look now at the passion there. Why? Because you've got courage and determination. You take all of the tasbih of Allah and you allow the name of Allah to come to your heart, and you have friendship with the darvish. Naqshbandi you become. Allah Ta'ala says that my name is now Naqsh, sealed on the map of the heart. SubhanAllah. Naqsh. And SubhanAllah. What? How will we rise on the Day of Judgment? With high maqams. Who after the Nambiya, after the Anbiya, after the Prophets, the greatest was Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu, and we want to ask Allah that we can stand under his standard, his flag. SubhanAllah. If you are not yet in that line, in that family, then become today, because this is a deep ocean. One man came and asked me a masala and said, Hazrat, that I read Quran at that time when you do dhikr, should I read Quran or should I do dhikr? He put forward a question. I said, look, in your mind, why is this question coming in? Why do you think that you should recite Quran and do dhikr at the same time? That both jobs are separate, aren't they, to do multitasking? So why do you put yourself in a test? And the best thing is what? What does your heart say that you need to do? What does your heart say? That you feel like eating meat, when you feel like eating meat, you cook the meat. If you feel like eating dal, you cook the dal. If you like biryani, you will cook the biryani. If you want shami kebab, then your heart feels, then you will cook shami kebab. If you want roast chicken, your heart says, then you will cook roast chicken. If your heart feels like doing dhikr, then do dhikr of Allah. Do dhikr of Allah. That why are you not moving with the inclination of the heart? Or is there a masla here? That you have to answer the masla. That ask your heart, what do you want? What do you want? Do you want to read Quran or do dhikr? The heart wants to do dhikr, then fine, go towards dhikr of Allah. Do more. Allah Ta'ala will give you the same word of reciting the Quran in the same sitting. Why do you want to put yourself in a test? So the masala is solved now, isn't it? The predicament. That when you think that, shall I do this action or that action? Shaitan, he creates thoughts in your head. You come, Hazrat, shall I read Quran or this action? To put your shaykh into a test and a challenge. So the answer to this is that do what you feel like. Why you have to ask for this? Whatever your heart has been made by Allah, if your heart is made for dhikr, then go towards dhikr and run towards dhikr. And why does the person stop then? So you don't need to ask me the masala. Do what is better for you. Follow what your desire is. For example, I gave the example of eating. So my brothers, this is all the game of life, the tricks of shaitan. Grab hold of the one path and don't worry about anything after that. Every day you should be promoted in this path and not demoted. Remember this point. That's when a person succeeds. That's one of the principles. So make a habit in your life, regularity, that this is how long today I will sit in dhikr. Then I'll have the sohbat of my shaykh. I will go and meet my shaykh. At this time I will do this. And don't step back one inch from that. And the sacrifices you have to make for this, then those sacrifices will become your worship. Your worship. That if you don't reduce your mamulat, that even the things in the world reduce in their size, no problem. But this is for Allah's sake. The first thing was for Allah, for the dunya, before you did tawbah. And the rest when you do tawbah is for Allah Ta'ala's sake. You should make a sketch that I will fast, or do ibadah, or pray salah. And this time I will spend doing dhikr of Allah. And everything can be done. If you schedule it in, we have 24 hours with the fadl of Allah. It's not a short amount of time. What is it that you can't do in this time? And the rest is according to your desire and passion. And then you carry on doing those things. Today, for example, your ijazah, if you want to go somewhere, don't do dhikr. No difference is made to me. No difference. You're sat for yourself, aren't you? Or not? If you're sat for yourself, say, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Then come yourself. If you want to learn, learn. If somebody wants to go, I won't stop anybody. That if his passion and desire doesn't fall here, then he can go without any problem. So, this is the dua that we should do. Allah, ihdina siratal mustaqim. In today, in this day and age, Allah, show us that path which can be done with ease and deliver us to your nearness, subhanAllah. That's the end of the story. If we can see that path, the path of love and muhabbat, then brothers, don't leave it. Just keep on practicing, keep on practicing. May Allah Ta'ala accept. Ameen.